Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. The time is 1:33 and the date is January 26, 2022. Want to welcome the members. Welcome Senator Reback.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
And welcome Senator Gray Jackson. Thank you for being here. And Senator Stevens, welcome. Thank you. And then Senator Machicki sent a note that he will be in a meeting, but he'll be here as soon as he can. So. Our recording secretary is Carrie, and our LIO operator is Lydia. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Today, we just have one item on the agenda. It's House Bill 99, introduced by Representative Queeman, and thank you for being here. He's here with his staff, Lizzie Kubitz. Thank you. So today, we will have the introduction of the bill, go through a sectional analysis, and then we have two members who've been invited for testimony, and thank you for being here. We'll open it up for public testimony. We do have Sarah Chambers online for any questions, and then we'll look to the will of the committee. So with that, welcome Representative Clayman, and please feel free to introduce your bill, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon. Members of the committee, and for the record, my name is Matt Clayman. I'm the House, State House Representative for House District 21 in West Anchorage. First, I would like to thank you for hearing House Bill 99. We often talk about making Alaska open and ready for business. House Bill 99 makes sure we're open and ready for the business of providing physical and occupational therapy services to people that need those services. My office introduced House Bill 99 at the request of the Alaska Physical and Occupational Therapy Associations. House Bill 99 amends the governing statutes for physical therapists, physical therapy assistants, occupational therapists, and occupational therapy assistants practicing in Alaska. These changes are designed to bring Alaska statutes in line with national standards and terminology, and overall make the administrative experience of these professionals smoother and up-to-date. House Bill 99 is supported by state physical therapy, by the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, which believes House Bill 99 will help the board in its work to protect the public. A letter stating that support is in your bill packet. Currently, physical therapists, physical therapy assistants, occupational therapists, and occupational therapy assistants are represented by the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board. This board is currently made up of one physician, three physical therapists, two occupational therapists, and one member of the public. House Bill 99 removes the physician from this board and replaces them with another occupational therapist, thereby balancing the representation of the professions on the board. There is good reason for this. When this statute was originally written, the work of physical and occupational therapists required referral by a physician. This has not been the case in Alaska for more than 30 years. Currently, House Bill 99 also enables the board to discipline a therapist who commits infractions under AS 08.84.120, such as conviction of a felony, gross negligence, or abuse of alcohol. Currently, the board has the ability to revoke or deny a license based on infractions, but has no ability to discipline. Additionally, House Bill 99 clarifies the language and the requirements for those therapists who receive their training outside of the United States, ensuring that their training is equivalent to a U.S. professional physical therapy training program, and also exempting therapists trained in an English language program from having to take an English proficiency test. Furthermore, this bill updates language in the Alaska statutes that references an accrediting entity that no longer exists and makes the language more general, allowing the state board to designate the appropriate accrediting entity as needed. Several other updates to terminology were made to update the language. House Bill 99 does not constitute a restructuring of the relevant statute, but it contains a number of long-awaited changes that will make it easier for professionals to do business in Alaska. And with that, I'll pass you off to my Chief of Staff, Lizzie Kubitz, who can walk you through the sectional analysis.
Thank you, Representative Clayman. Lizzie?
Thank you, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Lizzie Kubitz, and I'm staff to Representative Clayman. Thank you for hearing House Bill 99. Section 1 of the bill removes the seat for a physician and balances out the board with three physical therapists or physical therapy assistants and three occupational therapists or occupational therapy assistants, along with one public member, to make up the 7-member board. Section 1 also changes the term physical therapy assistant to physical therapist assistant to conform to the industry title used nationally. Section 2 allows the board to have broader authority over education programs. And as you can see, some of the accrediting entities listed in statute are now either renamed or no longer exist and have been removed. Also removed is language relating to additional supervised field work occupational therapists must complete, as these requirements are covered by the accrediting bodies. Section 3 adds new language requiring foreign educated physical therapist or physical therapy assistant students to have attended a substantially equivalent educational program that is accredited by a U.S. accreditation entity approved by the board. Additionally, subsection 3 requires that a physical therapist or physical therapist assistant pass a test demonstrating competency of the English language only if their program was taught in a foreign language. Subsection 4 requires that a foreign educated applicant is a legal alien or a U.S. citizen. Subsection 7 requires that applicants pay the required fee and meet any other qualifications for licensure set by the board. And finally, all of the previously mentioned subsection changes are replicated for occupational therapists or occupational therapy assistants. Moving on to sections 4, 5, and 6, those sections update terminology. Section 7 changes language that would now require that a limited permit is valid for 120 consecutive days. Section 8 allows only one limited permit per 12-month period. Section 9 updates licensure terminology. Section 10 adds disciplinary action as a possibility to what a board might consider for an infraction of their licensure and states that failure to comply with the law or regulations or order of the board could result in disciplinary action or suspension of a license. Section 11 updates credentialing and terminology. Section 12 also updates terminology. Section 13 adds a definition updating the term physical therapist assistant. Section 14 updates terminology under definitions in the criminal law and sexual assault statute. Section 15 updates terminology under definitions in the child protection statute. Section 16 repeals subsection 7 of AS 84190 subsection 7, which is the definition using the outdated term physical therapy assistant, which is replaced by the definition in section 8 of the bill. Section 17 sets out the applicability clauses for licensure for sections 2, 3, 7, and 8 of the bill. And finally, section 18 amends uncodified law by creating transition language for the board vacancy and appointments for the physical therapy and occupational therapy, and states that the changes do not apply to current licensees until it is time for their licensure renewal, and then all changes to the law will apply. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lizzie. Appreciate that. I just have one question, and it has to do with the seat that's filled by the physician now. When does that seat expire, and how does this bill affect, if it were to pass, how does the timing of this bill affect that? Is it immediately open for an appointment of an occupational therapist, or does that seat have to be does that person have to fill out their seat term?
Well, I think Ms. Kubitz is the better one to answer that question.
Through the chair, I may defer to either Alec Kay or Sarah Chambers. I don't know the current length of stay in that seat that you're speaking to, but I'm happy to look into that and get you an answer.
Okay, thank you. And it's not timely right now, so we can move on to other questions. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Klayman. So anyway, I think I heard you say that for 30 years, a referral from a doctor has not been required. That's true?
That's correct.
Okay. So is it that insurance companies require referral?
Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, it's actually, I've lived that experience because I was actually seeing my chiropractor, and this was several years ago, and I said, maybe you should see a physical therapist. And I said, well, can you write me a referral? And he said, oh, you don't need a referral. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the insurance companies don't require a referral to a physical therapist. Just call them up and schedule it. So I literally called Alec Kay's office, the man on the on this deal today, and they scheduled me, and the insurance paid for it, and had no questions about the referral.
Can I follow up, Madam Chair?
Of course.
So, yeah, on a personal note, lots of us have been through physical therapy, and I had something wrong with my foot. And so I was told that I needed a referral from my doctor. And so that's what I got. And so I'm a little confused. But it's a personal note, so I don't, yeah. Maybe other people have the same issue, but.
All I can tell you, Senator Gray Jackson, is I actually had exactly the same belief, and I had actually, in the last 30 years, been referred by my physician to see a physical therapist at an earlier point in time, and I had a note for the referral, and I now believe that had that doctor known he didn't need to write a referral, then I could have gone without a referral. I would have just gone. I think the difference for me was I didn't know, I was fairly new in Anchorage, I didn't know any physical therapists, and so my physician had a recommendation, and I followed that recommendation.
So one more follow-up, if I may, Madam Chair.
Senator Gray Jackson.
So I'm happy to hear this news, because from now on, I know what the rules are, for sure. Thank you, Madam Chair.
So any further questions? Senator Stevens?
Well, it's interesting. I went to the physical therapist yesterday with a note from my doctor. So nobody knows. Even the physical therapist doesn't know. But so is that the only rationale for taking the physician off that board, that there's no requirement anymore? I mean, it doesn't seem like it's necessarily a bad thing to have a physician on the board. Has there been some problem with that?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I don't think there's been a problem, but I think the rationale is to try to create an equal balance on the board between occupational therapists and physical therapists, because right now there's an imbalance. There's more physical therapists than occupational therapists. So to bring that level of expertise, I think that's why it's important to why it was important to the both the physical therapist and occupational therapist. They wanted that level of expertise. I think another note, just in terms of the age of the statute, and I think Mr. Kay can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the changes is that now the physical therapists that are getting trained are all at PhD level physical therapy, and so the level of training to become a physical therapist has gone up. And so when you have people that are serving on the board, they've got a level of certification that might not have been the same level that was required 30 years ago. But again, Mr. Kay can give you more details about that.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you. And just help me understand this. Could we have a definition of the difference between occupational and physical therapy? What, two separate things?
They are two separate things, and I would actually defer. If you'd hold that question for, I think we've got both a physical therapist on the line and an occupational therapist, and I think they're far more knowledgeable about telling you the distinction than I am.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no other questions, we'll go ahead and go to the invited testimony. And Alec, if you could answer the questions you've heard and also explain the medical training that is required now and then the differences. The question from Senator Stevens, and also state your name for the record and affiliation. But I'll mention too, you're the Alaska president of the American Physical Therapy Association and president of the United Physical Therapy in Anchorage. So welcome.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you all committee members, and also thank you, Representative Klayman, for sponsoring this bill. We really appreciate it because it is going to clean things up. And to address the question from Senator Stevens, it is a good question. And really, when our Practice Act was established, I think it was 50 years ago, maybe 60, physical therapy, the profession, was under the supervision of the American Medical Association. And for at least 40, we've sort of evolved into our own profession, and Representative Klayman is on target also. Our education has progressed to now all entry-level physical therapists are at a doctorate level, and so that we are practicing more autonomously, and that is evidenced by our direct access, as was discussed. And just to clarify for Senator Jackson, there are some insurance companies that require a referral to see a physical therapist. So by law, we can see patients directly, but for example, government sponsored insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, and some unions and some others, they do require that. but by law, we don't need it. And there may be some physical therapy offices who just blanketly ask their patients to do that, just to make sure they're covered. So that's just to clarify that. And I can also speak from experience. I was on the state, the Alaska State Licensing Board in the early 2000s. And during my tenure on the board, which was 4 years, we didn't have a physician in that seat. And well, not the entire time, part of the time we did. And when that physician was in the seat, they rarely came to meetings and they weren't involved. I think currently there's a physician on the board. I don't know their level of engagement, but I've been practicing in Alaska for almost 30 years. And I would say for the majority of the time, the licensing board has not either had a physician on that seat or an engaged physician. So to have it replaced by an occupational therapist or an occupational therapist assistant, I think will be much more useful in terms of the mission of the board. Any other questions about that particular part of this bill?
Senator Stevens?
Just the difference between occupational and physical therapy. Maybe I don't know what an occupational therapist does.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I'm going to actually defer to Dr. Carruthers, who works more in an academic setting, and I think she can give you a little bit more of a clear definition of that. So I'm going to pass on that question and let her answer it, if that's all right. The other reason that we're in support of this bill, there's several, but I think that giving the board some disciplinary control was really important because, again, when I was on the licensing board, really, your only thing you could do was take the license of a licensee if they had an infraction or a complaint of some kind. So to allow them to discipline, I think, gives them much more latitude because of all the different levels of potential infractions. And so that's, I think, a really positive part of this bill, as well as just the general cleanup and modernization. Any other questions for me before I let Dr. Carruthers answer that OTPT question?
Alec, I do have a question about your practice and how many individuals do you see that do not have a doctor's referral who just call and make appointments? Do you happen to know that?
60% of our patients come directly to us. And 35% of our patients are Medicare, Medicaid. And so that means 5% of the private people with insurance have a referral from a doctor.
And then one final question. Are you allowed to provide sports physicals? I know we passed a bill recently related to that. I was just curious.
I think it depends in some regard, but I would have to answer no. I think it's going to depend on the school district probably and what they allow. But, you know, we can do functional assessments, but that type of thing, you know, assessing for cardiac underlying things like that, if that's the point of that sports physical for that school district, no, that's not part of what we do. It's not in our purview.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your advocacy and all that you do as a business owner to keep Alaskans healthy. So next, Dr. Leanne Carruthers, welcome. You're the UAA Director of Allied Health and Alaska Government Affairs Liaison for American Physical Therapy Association. Welcome, and please provide your testimony and answer any questions that you feel you'd like to respond to. Dr. Carruthers, we're unable to hear you.
There we go. How about now?
Now we can.
I thought I would be auto-unmuted. So, Senator Costello, Representative Clayman, and members of the committee, my name is Leanne Carruthers. I am the Government Affairs Liaison for the Alaska Physical Therapy Association, and I'm also the Director of the School of Allied Health at UAA. I need to go on the record saying that my testimony today is representative of my role in the Physical Therapy Association, and I do not speak for the university in any way. I think I bring, as Dr. K referred to, a little bit different level of knowledge, and I'm happy to talk about that. And also would like to go on the record saying I'm thrilled to hear that so many of you present today have been consumers of and know the value of physical therapy. That helps as we attempt to make our way through this process greatly. So to answer the question first about physical therapy versus occupational therapy, both professions work towards allowing people to get back to doing the things that they want and need to do in their lives, be that back to work, be that back to school, back to recreation, or just doing things as simple as getting back around in their lives. And we sort of divvy up, in some places they divvy up areas of the body where occupational therapists focus more on the upper body and physical therapy more on the lower body. But I would say that that is sort of an old divvying up of responsibilities. Physical therapists work on more gross motor skills, like being able to get up and walk and get from point A to point B, whereas occupational therapists often focus more on fine motor skills, involved in doing things like dressing and grooming and bathing and those kind of things. So although we have the same ultimate goal, we come at it from different paths. There are several areas of overlap. Another place that I would say that PTs and OTs differ is that OTs also work on cognitive rehab. When people have difficulty with thinking and problem solving and those kind of things after an illness or injury. Certainly important for PTs to be able to work on that as well, but that's sort of part of what is more in line with what they do than we do. Have I answered that question sufficiently?
Oh, I'm sorry, you had me confused. They seem awfully a lot alike. I mean, am I missing something? Is that maybe occupational therapists, are they mainly get people back to work? Is that the idea?
So through the chair, I would say that occupation as sort of the introduction to that is a little confusing. Getting people back to work is one of the things that people do, hence occupation. But in the occupational therapy definition, they think about occupations as things that people need to do in their life, whether or not it's paid or unpaid. So things like activities of daily living, the things we need to do to be able to get ready to go out and do things like work, like up and dressed and groomed and those kind of things. And so as well as other tasks related to sort of the chores of daily life. So cooking and feeding and dressing and those kind of things. So does that help? There is lots of overlap. But we have two distinct bodies of knowledge that were required, and I would say that in some cases, if you asked five different PTs and OTs what the difference are, you might get some variation of the answer that I just gave you.
Okay, are there any further questions? Well, thank you very much, Dr. Crothers. Appreciate you being here. We have Sarah Chambers online. And Sarah, I was wondering if you might know the answer to my question. If the bill were to pass, does the governor then have the ability to immediately appoint an occupational therapist in that slot, or does the term have to end with that person who's apparently not actually attending?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, this is Sarah Chambers, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing. And on Section 18 of the bill, which is on page 9, there is some transition language that allows the existing board to continue through the remainder of their term. And so this would affect the physician position. So the current physician could continue to serve his term. And I would like to state that the current physician on the board is very active and engaged. So that he could continue to do that. And then, if there are vacancies or expired terms that occur on or after the effective date of this act, then the governor could fill those positions.
Thank you, Sarah. And when does that term expire for the physician seat?
Let's see, I have that available.
And while you're looking for that, I did want to mention that Senator Machicki, the Senate president, has been here for a while. He was in another meeting. Thank you for joining us, Senator Machicki. You're welcome to share your physical therapy or occupational story with the group if you feel so. And just for the committee, it looks like on page 9, line 17, it says may serve. So there's some flexibility there if that seat is whether that seat's filled immediately or refilled. So,
Madam Chair, the current physician, he was reappointed last year, so his term ends March of 2025.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much for that. Next, I would like to go ahead and open public testimony for House Bill 99, and it looks like we have Keith Porbaugh, who's calling in from Wasilla. Keith, if you'd like to state your name and your affiliation for the record and provide your testimony, that'd be appreciated.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Dr. Keith Porbaugh, and I'm actually calling right now from Hawaii. So I feel for all those of you that are sitting in the committee in Alaska, but I can assure you I'm enjoying the sun here, and I appreciate Representative Clayman and members of the committee for taking the time to listen about House Bill 99. And I agree with Sarah Chambers in regards to the fact that we have an amazing physician on our board right now, Dr. Enloe, and he is probably one of the hardest working members that I've served with over the past 5 years being on the board. And as chair of the board, I'll miss seeing him, but I think it's important for us to consider that as a physical therapy, occupational therapy board, we should have equal representation. And just like Dr. Al K pointed out, you know, our training, our expertise, our skills, and our level of education warrants us having a board that is representative of our profession. And we look forward to seeing those changes, also those encompassed where it brings us up to par with other states, and that are also direct access that also allow people to access physical therapy, occupational therapy without a physician referral. And I think that was paramount to people getting adequate care during the recent pandemic, where they didn't have to go to a physician office. They could simply be self-referred to a PT or OT. And of course, the other part is allowing the board to have a broader scope in regards to addressing issues which require disciplinary action, and ensuring that our members are held to a higher standard. So as chair of the Physical Therapy Occupational Therapy Board, we're happy to see this bill move forward. We appreciate all your hard work and hope to see it eventually come to law. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Porbaugh. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So maybe coming at this from a different direction from the difference between the occupational and physical therapist, can you tell us, Keith, the difference in the education or the training requirements of those two jobs, those two careers?
Yes, through the Madam Chair. Senator, yeah, I know it's a difficult thing to understand. I've been practicing now for almost 30 years, and it's been a developing separation between physical therapy, occupational therapy. Probably the greatest distinction is that physical therapists are more geared towards movement and function, whereas occupational therapists are more geared towards activity. It's kind of like having, essentially, it's no different than specialties within, as in the medical field. Like you have an orthopedist or a neurologist or a physical medicine and rehab doctor. Essentially, PTs and OTs working together, which I've done. I've had occupational therapists work in my practice in Wasilla, and a lot of times we share the same clients. Like Dr. Carruthers pointed out, we just come at it from different perspectives. The training is quite similar for the basics, like anatomy, physiology. But then as you get into more of the treatment aspects, it's very, very diverse. And the physical therapy goes more towards movement, function, sports, whereas occupational therapy goes more towards activities and more about fine motor. I hope that helps some. I know it doesn't give you an exact distinct difference between the two professions. We work hand in hand. And so separating us is pretty tough to do because we've been so closely aligned for so many years.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't see this as a major issue. I mean, it's not the point of the bill, but it's just good to understand the difference. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in Juneau who wishes to provide public testimony on House Bill 99? Okay, is there anyone else online who wishes to provide public testimony? Okay, with that, House Bill 99 public testimony is now closed. Take a brief at ease. Okay, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee has come back to order, and Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This question is to Ms. Chambers. So the current makeup of the board has a doctor whose term doesn't expire for 3 years. So my question is there a way to appoint a physical therapist sooner than later, and then when the doctor's term expires, that position goes away? I hope that I'm clear on the question I'm asking. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. This is Sarah Chambers. As the chair pointed out, there is the possibility of the current physician member to resign from the position, and then that position could be filled by the person with the new qualifications under this bill. The bill does not provide for an additional seat in the interim, so that could certainly be an amendment to the bill if it were at the committee's discretion. But probably the easiest way to move forward with filling the position with the new qualifications would be if the current physician were to resign his position.
May I follow up, Madam Chair?
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Ms. Chambers. That would be the easiest way, but I heard the previous speaker say what a great addition he is to the board, and so maybe he wants to finish his three-year term. But I'm just asking the question to determine and find out if it is a possibility, and if folks don't even want to go that route, I'm fine with that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Klayman, did this issue come up in the other body, and what was the discussion around that?
It did not come up in the other body. What I would say is that my general sense, having served on a number of different boards and commissions over the years, that if a change like this occurred, even a very active member, the potential that with the active practice and everything else going on, the likelihood that that person might say, well, I've had a great time, I've really appreciated it, but I'm going to resign effective whatever date. I would say the odds that the physician I can't speak for him, but I would be surprised if he stayed on the board for that length of time, because all these boards are a time commitment for everyone. And so when the legislature expressed its interest in changing the makeup of the board, I would again, without speaking to hearing from the doctor, I would anticipate the physician would probably resign in due course and wouldn't serve the remainder of the term, and that would solve the problem.
Okay.
Thank you. Representative Klayman. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, I do just want to take the opportunity to say that we have over 200 boards and commissions in the state of Alaska. In a previous job, I've actually worked in the boards and commissions office, and it's really quite amazing and wonderful that Alaskans dedicate so much of their personal time to serving on the boards that really are the basis of a lot of the economic growth and the small businesses in Alaska. I mean, we have boards that span from aerospace all the way, you know, to licensures, and certainly Sarah Chambers knows that. And this committee has heard, we hear all of the appointees. So just following this discussion, I just want to thank all the people who in Alaska who serve on our boards. And certainly my support of this legislation in no way is a reflection of the doctor who is currently serving in this capacity. I mean, it sounds like that person is very dedicated and passionate, and that's probably a decision that the board and you know, that individual and the governor could all have at some point. So with that, I just wanted to say publicly thank that member.
Right. Can I follow up, Madam Chair?
Senator Gray Jackson.
I'd like to thank that member and every other member of that board and every other board and commission. And it would be great if he does finish his term. And the only reason why I brought it up was because that's one of the purposes in changing the statutes, and that's the only reason why I brought it up. But again, thank you to all who are willing to volunteer to work on behalf of our communities. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Reback.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill number 99, version Alpha, also referred to as 32-LIMA-SIERRA-0506/Alpha, be advanced from the committee with individual recommendations in the attached fiscal note.
Is there any objection to moving the bill? Okay, seeing none, House Bill 99 moves from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes. Want to thank the bill sponsor and your staff for being here today, and wanted to mention that our next meeting will be Friday, January 26th at 1:30, and we will be hearing Representative Josephson's House Bill 55 related to peace officer and firefighter retirement. So thank you very much, and the meeting is adjourned.